The A-side's got hype, but people root for the underdog. There may be a main event, but don't sleep on the undercard. Welcome to the B-side, you can take your sneaks off, take you for a sweet ride. Ah, info we supply, worldwide, thanks for flipping to the B-side, yeah.
Hosted by Brian McKay.
Welcome back, and thank you for flipping to the B-side. I am your host, Brian B. Mac McKay, and in this episode, I'm joined by one of my favorite basketball analysts. You'll see her all over your airwaves, having just covered, I think, was her 18th season in the WNBA?
That is correct.
All right.
Getting old.
She's working for ESPN, and you'll see her locally doing the Atlanta Dream Games. She is a 2021 Mel Greenberg Award winner. And also, if you like this sort of thing, she covered the 2020 and 2024 Olympic Games for the women's basketball side. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show the one and only LaChyna Robinson.
Thank you, B-Mac. That was an awesome intro. I appreciate you and so happy to be with you.
Like I told Debbie when she came on, after the intro, it's all downhill from here. You know, I can put an intro together, but after that, we'll see where it goes.
I don't believe that.
Let me just kind of throw some things at you. Since, you know, you are on the TV space, the viewership in the WNBA is just continuing to rise. You have across the ESPN, ABC platforms, the second best WNBA first round series with the Fever and Dream. You had, the best semifinals game ever between the Fevers and Aces game one. Mercury and Lynx game one would have been the best since 1999. Let's go. You got even just in the finals, game one of the finals was the best since the original season in 1997. What are your thoughts on what that means for the league going forward?
It's huge. Obviously, you and I have both been witness to the growth in the WNBA, the exponential growth, in particular over the last few years, whether it's TV ratings, merchandise, ticket sales, revenue, expansion, valuation of franchises, all the metrics, all the numbers for the WNBA are going up. And that's big because for a very long time, there was conversation around whether or not women's sports in particular was good business, whether investing in women's sports was worth it. And I think what we're seeing now is a consensus that it is great business to invest in women's sports and that there is an appetite for it, that people are longing to see it in person, to watch it on television. And it just speaks volumes for the work that's been put in over time by a lot of people, in particular, the sacrifice of the players who, as you know, as we both know, don't make anywhere near the money that they should. But many of them believed in this league. They wanted to play here professionally in front of their family and friends, even though there were opportunities overseas, et cetera. There's been a lot of sweat equity put into this league. So it's great to see that the future is bright and that money will be flowing, whether it's media or into the players' pockets, hopefully when the CBA is negotiated, and that the WNBA is growing in every way.
Well, at the time of this recording, we just had game three of the finals last night. Asia Wilson hit a beautiful fadeaway with 0.3 seconds on the clock to put the Aces one game away from getting their third championship. For everything the Aces have done, whether it's Asia and Jackie Young playing big, huge contributions from Dana Evans and Jewel Lloyd off the bench, I thought Phoenix has really kind of beat themselves in all three games in certain spots, whether it be a technical foul here, missed free throws there. What do you think, now that they're down 0-3, what can the Phoenix do to get back in the series?
Yeah, it's tough because the way Vegas is playing, your margin for error is so small and you start there, right? Controlling the things you control. Can you limit your turnovers? Can you stay away from those technical fouls to your point, depending on how the momentum of the game is shifting? Technical fouls can help, but they can also hurt you. And just attention to detail. You know, I think one of the growing pains for this team is having a rookie point guard who has been phenomenal this year. I love Akoa Makani, but I really believe that part of Phoenix's challenge has been manufacturing points consistently, good shot selection, and some of that is controllable. What seems less controllable is the production from Asia Wilson, which would need to be limited greatly. Last night, she was 11 for 20 from the field, had 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, 34 points. Like, yeah, I don't know what you do with that. And there were two defenders there on that final shot. I mean, Alyssa Thomas and DeWanna Bonner, who gives you a little more length, were both there. But it's like, Asia's the best player in the world, and she is saying that very loudly right now in these playoffs, reminding everyone of who she is, 4-time MVP. But I do believe that if Phoenix can get deeper contributions, they did get, 25 points from DeWanna off the bench. Sammy Wickham, 0-for-4-for-3. With her championship experience, having 1-2 in Seattle and just her ability to quick shoot the ball, like, they could really use a punch for her. You know this, B-Mac. Sometimes there are those players that when they hit three, the whole team gets going. And yeah. Sammy has that kind of impact. And especially when you look back at the series with the Minnesota Lynx and, you know, I think it was game 2 that they ended up stealing from the Lynx on the road. Sammy hit the shot that got them to overtime. And that's really how Phoenix won that series, by stealing that game at Minnesota. And so I believe that she has some more to unlock in this series. But again, it's hard because the Aces are playing very well. And this is a Phoenix team that we have been praising because of how quickly things have come together with their big three, with this coaching staff. But I think we're starting to see some of the lack of experience together show itself a little bit in these final games.
And you talk about Asia. I mean, she's averaging career highs in points, in steals, in blocks, in games played in the playoffs because of the expanded format. Yeah. I mean, she's just amazing. And like you said, everything she does is just, wow.
Looks effortless, right? I mean, and I said this on my threads probably like third way through the season. I was like, I hope we don't take for granted what we're watching, because we're watching the greatest player to play in the WNBA. I mean, definitely on play paper. You could argue it if you want to, but we've never had a 4-time MVP. She's not even 30 years old yet. So what she will accomplish the rest of the way is like literally unheard of, like with the space and opportunity she has left in those years. So it's exciting to think about what we're seeing. Yes.
Moving on, let's see. In 2011, you were one of the founders of a program called Rising Media Stars. It's a program for young women who have shown an interest in pursuing a career in broadcasting. Give my viewers a little bit more on that, because, I mean, me talking about it wouldn't do it justice. You're the one who knows everything about it, so.
Yes, absolutely. So Rising Media Stars is the nonprofit that I co-founded with a gentleman named Kevin Nixon back in 2018. And we started this nonprofit with the goal of helping to diversify the face of sports broadcasting. We just felt like that women were underrepresented, in particular women of color, when it came to the coverage of sports. So we wanted to use our resources and pull together our network to get these women valuable in the field experience, connect them to the right people, give them guidance, but more than anything, build a community that they could lean on in those challenging times that we all experience in our profession, especially in media. And so we have now graduated 5 classes. So that's 25 women over the last, you know, since 2018. We did take a year off for the pandemic year, but just really proud of what we've built with the program. We've had some women that you may recognize come from our program, like Andrea Carter, Zora Stevenson, Isis Young, Shantiana Keys, C. DeLu. So they're all at the top of their game in their individual spaces. And That first class really has been leading the way, but we got some superstars coming up, BMAC, that I think everyone will be excited to watch and cover through their careers.
Yes, I'm excited. I know when I found out that Andrea was part of that group, I think she came on Christy Winter Scott's podcast when mm-hmm. you know, who I helped with on her hoop stats, and she yeah. was talking about that group on there, and that's when I started kind of researching. And when I found out you were a founder of it, I said, "Oh wow, this is special."
Yeah, you know, it's we try to spread the word as much as possible, but more than anything, it's really not for the recognition. You know, it's for these women to have a space that they feel heard, they feel seen and visible, and can come to for whatever it is they may need. And so we're excited about their futures for sure.
Well, I definitely will put the website and everything down in the show notes for this podcast, but where can someone contact if they might be interested in that?
Yeah, so we are on all platforms, Rising Media Stars. Well, I guess I should say we're on LinkedIn, we're on Instagram, at Rising Media Stars. And yeah, more information to come. We haven't made an announcement yet about this year's class, so everyone will have to stay tuned for that. But yeah, that's where they can find information. There's also risingmediastars.org is our website.
Yes. All right. Well, now it's time to play what I like to say, everybody's favorite game. It's called Pass Me That Napkin. And it's very simple. All you need is a napkin. You need a pen. This is something that Van Chancellor and I did back when, as far back as I can remember, when he first started out in Houston. And I would come out there and hang out with him and his wife, and we'd be out at dinner. And he'd pull a napkin out, and he said, "All right, Brian, let's do this. Let's do the top five point guards in the league, or let's draft." And me and him would go back and forth drafting, you know, different teams of players that were in the league at the time. Okay. So for you, my top five, I would love for you to give is the top five moments that you called in the WNBA this past year.
Wow. Woo! So I'm going to start with Kayla McBride in the 53-point victory of the Minnesota Lynx over the Las Vegas Aces. McBride went 8 for 8 in the first half. And it was mind-blowing. Without a miss from three-point range. Like, stone cold. Never seen a shooting performance like that before in a half. Made history with that, obviously. Other moments. Let's see. I would definitely say... Wow. I am thinking the next would be, I had the opportunity to call New York at Dallas. Mm-hmm. And it was my first time calling a Paige Beckers game. I don't think I called Diddy, maybe when she was like a freshman at UConn, but just watching her play again up close and personal was just a reminder of who she is, like, as a player. I think she's phenomenal. Her efficiency, how easily the game comes to her. The Dallas Wings end up winning that game. Arike Ogunbowale was phenomenal. But to see how the gap has closed from the college game to WNBA is awesome. Because we used to say, oh, that might be the number one pick in from college, but it's going to take them some time and they won't maybe translate right away. Well, Paige Beckers was one of the best guards in the league. So,
yes.
Yeah. Number three would probably be my season opener, which was Vegas at New York. I won't say why the Minnesota Lynx maybe didn't want to do a finals rematch to start the season. I think they probably wanted a little bit of rest from that, all the drama of New York coming into the season. But Vegas and New York is one of the best rivalries in the WNBA. And to start my season there at Barclays for their ring celebration, ring ceremony, that was really special to see that. It had been a while since I'd been a part of a ring ceremony on broadcast. So that's definitely one. Another I would say would probably be when I called a game in Chicago this year, Phoenix at Chicago.
Okay.
And the Phoenix Mercury won that game, and that was my first look at Phoenix, who is obviously now a finals team, and I was blown away by what they were doing with their rookies. Like, Kalia Copper had not been back and healthy. Satu had missed some time, and they had, like, obviously, Akoa Makani, Kat Westbelt. Always have to make sure I have the right Westbelt sister. but a ton of rookies. Kitty Alotska. Gosh, I mean, they had like six on their roster rookies at the time. And I was just blown away by how well they were able to come in and help this team stay afloat. I mean, they're really the reason. I know Alyssa Thomas has said this. They are the reason why Phoenix was able to secure that four seed. Because of the way that their rookies played early in the season. Lexi Held. So that was also one of my favorites. Let me see. I would say my last one would be Indiana at Atlanta in the playoffs. I actually don't call the Atlanta Dream games anymore during the regular season. So it was nice to get a Dream home game here. At Gateway and just experience those fans again on sideline. And, you know, that's where I got my start in the W back in 2008, when the Dream started. So it was really, really cool to be back in that seat again and to be with Dream fans for such a big and very important game. So those are my five. I hope I didn't talk too much. I know that was
no, that was great. I was reliving every one of those moments right there with you. Wow. Well, before I put a bow on this episode, I want to tell a little bit of a personal story, and it has to do with the first time I met you. And the year, fuzzy, it was back when I was video coordinator at Ole Miss. I think it was 2010 at in Duluth at the Gwinnett Center.
Yes, yes. That's where the SEC tournament was all back then, yes.
So for people who know me, and I know that, you know, the 25 people that watch this show, they'll know me well enough to know back in those days, I was backward shy, very shy, just not open about, you know, just really just timid to talk to anyone. And I saw you sitting there at our shoot around, and I said, well, you know what, I'm going to go introduce myself. I seen you on TV a few times that year, went over, introduced myself. Really scared to death because it's Chyna Robinson. You know, she's on TV, and that's
how I was a baby myself back then.
I know you had just started like the year or two before, but you know, to me that was big time. And when I went over and I introduced myself, and you could not have been nicer. You and this is every time I've ever been in your presence, you've been this way to me, and it's people like you. Debbie Antonelli, Christy Winter-Scott, Cindy Brunson. I could go on and on and on, but we'd be here till next WNBA season. Who have always been that way towards me, and I just always appreciated that and never forgotten it. And that's why I was so glad to have you on this episode.
Oh, well, thanks so much, B-Mac. That means everything. I mean, you've been the backbone of so many podcasts and so many moments in our sport, and you've passed along such great knowledge. Even now that I'm finding out who was writing on the napkin, when Debbie was calling it the cocktail napkin, I think she got that from you. So now I'm learning a little bit about the history of how that evolved. But no, I appreciate your kind words, and thank you for continuing to carry our sport and the people who are the stakeholders in our sport. It really means everything, and utilizing your talent to uplift all of us. So thank you.
Awesome. Well, that's going to put an end to it. Thank you all, as always, for flipping to the B-side.